Simply Financial with Christopher Calandra, Certified Financial Planner, is an innovative, comprehensive, informative, and cutting-edge podcast that discusses financial topics ranging from personal finance, economics, politics, and personal growth. Simply Financial will cover intriguing and thought-provoking questions so that the listener can simply increase their financial IQ.
Welcome to episode number 40, season number 2 of the Simply Financial podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Calandra. On today's episode of the Simply Financial podcast, I have in studio with me Harold Hartman, better known as Buddy Hartman. I had met Buddy through a mutual friend several years ago. He has been part of the Elliott Wealth team for a couple of years now. I probably should have looked this up exactly. Seems like forever.
Yes.
But it's been a couple of years. And we're going to get into business a little bit. But first off, I'm so glad we've become great friends.
It
means a lot to me. We've had some good times, good conversations. Our families are very similar, with both your son and my daughter being freshmen in college this year. And it's just been really wonderful.
It has been.
So, not to be too sentimental, it's not like we're going to cry and hug it out here or anything like that.
Right.
But on a business front, you're a great addition to the team because you have some wonderful credentials. We're going to talk quite a bit about this, but... you're a CPA.
Correct.
And you've been a CPA for a long time. Do you recall when
26 years.
26 years as a CPA.
Correct. New York, Connecticut, certified public accountant.
There you go. Yeah. And then a few years ago, I think 2012, you became a certified financial planner.
10 years ago. Yeah.
I probably should have gotten more of my facts straight.
That's all right.
But then you became a certified financial planner. We're going to talk some about that.
Yeah.
But you also recently... got a designation, the CDFA. What does that stand for?
Certified Divorce Financial Analyst.
Because you do a lot of work with divorced individuals,
correct,
helping them plan post-marriage. A good specialty, good niche. I know we've already earned business from a lot of clients that fall into that category. And just to kind of round out your resume, you also teach accounting at the collegiate level.
Correct.
Having been a professor, adjunct professor at Eastern Connecticut State.
Correct.
I got something right?
That is correct.
And then now you're at the University of Bridgeport.
That is correct.
Here in Connecticut.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit, because I am not a CPA, of course. I am a CFP. Why did you decide to become a CFP, given that you were a CPA, you had a tax practice, you were working with clients, a successful tax practice at that. Why did you decide to become a CFP?
Great question. For my first 16 years of my career, spanning 26 years, that was solely as a CPA practitioner. And the one thing I think that set me apart from other CPAs is that I wasn't just a CPA. I consider myself an advisor. If you look at the five parts of financial planning, near the end, say the last 6 years of my CPA work, I basically did four of them. So retirement planning, tax, estate, and then insurances.
Right.
So I basically would be the quarterback at the table, kind of bringing everyone together. And at that point, I had someone that was doing wealth management. I had an insurance person. I had an estate lawyer. You know what I mean? So I kind of put everything together. And as I was doing that, I said to myself, I can do the whole thing, including the investments, because I was investing on the side for myself. So I really thought that the CFP just broadened me as an advisor and took me to the next step.
So when you initially decided to prepare for the CFP, which we talked about on an early episode of Simply Financial podcast with Lindy Brock, who's studying for the CFP exam. I mean, it is a tough, nasty exam.
Very much so.
There's a lot of coursework, intense tests that I think about half the people who take it fail. When you originally started this, was it just to be able to be that quarterback at the table, to be that much more prepared? Or when you went into it, were you already thinking that you wanted to operate more as a CFP and less as a CPA professional?
I definitely was leaning towards moving to the CFP side. That was my whole intention from day one. So I got my CFP 10 years ago, but 2 years before that, is when I really started that journey. Mm-hmm. I went to Quinnipiac University. I spent 2 years there at night getting my certificate, my certified my financial planning certificate. Mm-hmm. At that point, I then studied, sat down for the test. My intention from that time, 12 years ago, was to transition to the CFP side. So at the time, I had a very, a very lucrative practice, the CPA practice at that point. And my transition eventually was sold most of my practice. Mm-hmm. And then I moved fully over to financial planning at that point.
And I've been in the business world, we're a similar age. I've met lots of CPAs over the years and interacted with them across a wide range of topics and working with clients and just networking in general. But your crossover, I think you're better positioned for that. And it's not surprising you've been so successful, because lots of CPAs are focused on the transactional part of tax planning and they're not really consulting with their clients. This is not a criticism of CPAs.
No, not at all.
It's a little bit of the nature of the business, their models, how they get paid, what the expectations are from their clients. But they're often tax preparers. And you, even in your tax practice, I can see, having met lots of your clients and spent lots of time with you, is you are a consultant as much, if not more than, a tax preparer.
Absolutely.
And that's really what we want to do on the CFP side.
It rolls right into what we do, exactly.
And so how long have you been teaching at the collegiate level, which I think is amazing? I would love to do that. And so
I think you would be fantastic. I've already told you that a million times. I've been doing it 4 years, and I think all it is an extension of what we do. You're a teacher. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is you're a teacher. Every time you sit with a client, you're teaching them about their finances. You're teaching them about tax, retirement, estate plan, whatever it may be.
Yeah, so financial concepts. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we're teaching all the time. So for me, it's a way to kind of give back to when I was going to school, I didn't have that great mentor that kind of guided me through. I had to figure this all out. And I think if I can help one student to either become a CPA or a CFP or find their way in the world going forward, then I've done my job. Yeah. I mean, I just love it.
That's awesome.
I have so much fun with it. It's not funny. That's not a part-time job at all. Mm-hmm. That is something I love to do.
Wonderful. Sticking with the tax topic for a moment.
Yeah.
Do you think people under plan on their tax planning and miss out on opportunities to avoid and or reduce taxes? Would that be your opinion?
Absolutely. I think most people are reactive versus proactive, right? We think of ourselves as proactive.
Right.
Meaning that we're going to meet with them before 12/31, before year end, and try to enlighten them, try to open up doors to get them to that right spot for that tax savings, whatever it will be. Mm-hmm. I think that when you talk about other, maybe not financial planners, you talk about wealth management, they're worried about just wealth management. Your CPA is just worried about the taxes. There has to be someone on that team if the client or the person does not go out and pull them together. Because one head is doing one thing, one head's doing another thing, but if you put them kind of together, and I think that's what you and I do great, is we put it together and we're able to accomplish a lot more with the client.
Absolutely. It's that intersection of tax planning and what's generally
retirement
perceived plan, as financial
right.
planning, including investment planning, insurance
right.
planning, estate planning. And we do not prepare taxes for the most part
correct.
For clients.
Absolutely.
We have some special relations. We want to be more on the financial planning side
correct.
Of things. But that awareness of tax strategy and always thinking about things through that lens as part of the process
oh.
is really valuable
absolutely.
To clients and leads to better outcomes. And it seems to me that I talked about the CPA business model is that clients don't help CPAs either, because they're looking for often, not always, but they're looking for a price to prepare my taxes, and then they want to go in during that January to April kind of time frame, drop off all their tax stuff, get a tax return compiled, ready to sign so that they could move on with their life. But especially for small business owners.
Absolutely.
People that have wealth.
Yeah.
People that have multiple incomes, yeah, that own real estate. You know, there's lots and lots of examples where pre-planning, not just the tax preparation, will yield better decisions, avoid mistakes,
absolutely,
capture opportunities, yeah, and we're getting better and better here at LA Wealth Management Services at working with clients to take advantage of all of that. And it's especially true with the tax reform from December that was signed into law in December, came into effect January 1st, because it opens up lots of opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, and it's good and bad for everyone. Everyone's got something good, everyone's got something bad there. So, I mean, you should be in touch with your financial planner, you should be in touch with your accountant, especially if you're a small business, a high net worth. You absolutely have to get the whole team together before year end. You were talking about it before. When it comes down to cost, a lot of people look at the cost. They don't look at the value that they're getting,
mm-hmm,
right? So when you pay X amount for a tax return and they spit out a tax return, but yet they're not doing tax planning, they're not talking to your wealth management person, your financial planner, I think you're leaving something on the table,
yeah,
without a doubt.
And do you think, in given your 26 years of experience as a CPA and your 10 years of experience as a CFP, plus your experience as a professor, do you think these business models and pressures that CPAs and financial planners are under to serve the client well and also have a profitable, well-run business, do you think that'll change over time? Because I don't think it'll really change that
much
on the CPA perspective. I think the pressures of Liberty Tax Service and H&R that race to the bottom for the low-cost,
yeah,
tax preparation makes it hard for CPAs to deal with a marketplace where they're talking about consulting. And I don't know if they're really set up to do that by and large.
Well, I think there's some CPAs out there that do a good job of it. But for the majority, and it's nothing against that profession, I think that it is more of a tax preparation or bookkeeping or accounting, and that's it.
So do you find now operating more as a CFP, and you do both, right?
Correct.
But do you find operating more as a CFP, working on financial and investment planning, do you find it easier to help people compared to when you would focus more as a tax practitioner? And as you mentioned, it's worth repeating, you had a very successful tax practice.
Correct.
That largely has been sold. You retained some clients that are important to you in one way or another. But do you find it easier to help people because you could do a more holistic approach as a CFP compared to a CPA?
I would say absolutely, 100%. Yeah. There's no doubt. I was lucky enough in my CPA practice. I dealt with a lot of high net worth clients. I also spent time, a ton of time over my years, with small, medium, and large companies. So for me to know the ins and outs of the companies and then be able to apply the financial planning side of it for retirement, taxes, you know, and tie that all in along with estate planning, and not even that, the insurance side, right? You know, the disability, the retirement plans, the life insurance, right?
Sure.
I mean, we can tie all of that in, and we're very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, 100%, you know, the CPA side of it clearly helps me overall as a certified financial planner.
Sure. And we're recording now, we're in September, so we're closing in on the end of Q3 of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We'll, before you know it, be into the fourth quarter. As we work with our clients, and for those listening that may not be our clients, maybe not just yet.
Not yet.
So can we talk about just some year-end planning tips, things that folks can consider and bring up to their existing financial advisor and or maybe their CPA, things to think about, especially in light of tax reform that came into effect on January 1st this year. So what are some basic year-end planning tips? I don't want to get too far into the weeds or anything,
mm-hmm,
but let's just do some bullet items, if you will. What might be worth thinking about as we close in on year end?
I mean, some of the most simple ones that we always make sure, at the very least, that we're going through: tax loss harvesting, looking at tax gain harvesting, right? We've done this before where we've taken capital gains in depending on their year and what their AGI is. If it's low enough, you can hit the 0% on the capital gains up to a certain amount. So we've looked at that. Retirement contributions, retirement plans. This is going to be a big one for this year, especially with the new laws that are coming into place. You have the qualified business income deduction of 20% on pass-through entities, right? We know C-Corps, they now have a flat rate of 21%. But those are typically standalone companies. When we look at the pass-through, which would encompass a lot of the small, medium-sized businesses, that's where you can really do a lot of work there. It phases out starting at 315, and it totally phases out at 415,000. These companies, no matter what type of company they are, they would more than likely qualify for that 20% off the business.
And it's kind of a complicated thing, right? It's not a clean, only something the IRS could come up with.
It's clean underneath the threshold, right? Just 20%, and it's going to be hard to calculate. We haven't seen all the forms yet, but I keep looking at the forms.
So there's a lot of numbers there because there's some complexity.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, if you're listening and you're a small business owner, whether you're making a little bit of money, it's a side hustle, or it's the major way you and your family raise money or bring money in, you really ought to get some advice and think through this new deduction. It's a new animal.
Yeah.
There's still work to be done because the IRS with the documents and the forms, it's new. But before year end, I would strongly urge you to talk to someone, whether it's us, your other professionals, because you want to pay attention to this. It might be very, very important, although there's a chance it doesn't matter that much. But in all likelihood, it'll have an impact.
Absolutely. What we said is, if you're over this threshold and you don't have a retirement plan, you may be able to set up a retirement plan now to get yourself underneath
it'll be
it
very
to capture
beneficial.
The 20.
That's right.
And that's a double deduction right there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a number of ways that if the planning is done proactively, meaning before 12/31, you could possibly set yourself up for some decent tax savings as a business owner.
And then other retirement contributions are more similar to past years, Roth IRA contribution,
correct,
traditional, maximize your 401k. There's catch-up provisions in your 401k.
Mm-hmm.
You might have a pension plan. You have to make sure you do your RMDs.
Correct.
Required minimum
over
distributions if you're over 70 and a half. And we can't delve into this too deeply on this episode, but you know, maybe you and I could sit again another time soon. I know we're both kind of busy schedule-wise,
yeah,
but talk just about retirement plans for small business owners.
I think that's fantastic.
I think that'll be good. So let's put that on the schedule. And then the other thing, which we probably can't get too deep into, is Roth conversions. It seems to me that they've always been a good idea, but with the tax reform, they are even more important and more valuable given what we're dealing with the tax code, at least for this year and the next couple of years.
So you're like me, Roth. I love Roth. If we can get money to Roth, we're going to try and get it to Roth as long as it doesn't hurt the client. The one thing that they did do in the new law is they got rid of the recapitalization,
mm-hmm,
which was such a great thing. You could do it if the fair market value drops, you could recapitalize, mm-hmm, it back into the IRA. That's no longer allowed. So once you make the decision to do your Roth, that's a done deal at this,
mm-hmm,
point. But I'm a big proponent of 401k. That could be a mini 401k, a solo 401k, where you're just doing Roth,
yes,
in there instead of traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right for everyone, but I would say it's right for most people.
Sure.
I love the Roth.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also talked about that. They've talked about taking away the actual tax deduction for retirement plans and making it all Roth. That's been floated around a little bit in the law.
I could see that happening someday.
They need
not,
money.
Not today. Yeah, that
they
would solve
money.
That problem.
Yeah.
That's an
they
interesting political conversation. Any other things that people may want to pay attention to, think about, strategize about as we close in on year end?
Just a couple of simple ones. Standard deduction doubles.
Yeah.
Right? It just about doubles. There's no exemptions this year. They kind of folded that in the standard deductions. You know, for certain people, mortgage interest going forward, it's only on $750,000. It used to be $1 million and then the $1,000 for the HELOC.
Mm-hmm.
So $1.1 million, now it's down to $750,000. Tax rates drop. Itemized deductions, 2% of your itemized deductions, those are no longer allowed on Schedule A.
Okay.
So there's a number of things that are in there, and depending on who you are and what you are, some of these really help and some of these hurt, but you shouldn't find that out in April.
Yes.
It's a little too late at that
point. And you don't want to go to your accountant or your financial planner in April and hear the words, wow, we could have done this.
Correct.
By 12/31, but now it's too late.
Absolutely.
And planning, communicating, strategizing, investing time and perhaps a little bit of money in getting good advice will typically pay off very, very well. And what's the expression? You don't want to be penny wise, pound foolish. And I think this is a good example of that. I also find I was interviewed for an article. I don't know if you've seen the article. I think it got published this week in Advisors Magazine. And one of the questions was about these new platforms that are out there to help investors where you're not using an advisor. It's more of a do-it-yourself model. What's the expression?
AI.
Robo-advisors,
yeah,
and things like that.
Yeah.
And what I had said in the article is I don't think they're bad. I think they're a good addition to the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid of them as a financial planner. I welcome that because any way we could use technology to help more clients and allow for better decision-making is worthwhile. But I think one of the drawbacks to those tools is exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
They're not personal enough. Yeah. They're not comprehensive enough. Everyone's situation is different in some way, shape, or form, whether it's how they think about things, what they're worried about, what their financial situation is, and a just pull off your shelf kind of robo-advisor is not comprehensive enough. And you want that personal customization awareness about your own situation. You can invest your own time and just do it yourself.
Correct.
But often working with a team of advisors, a financial planner, an estate planning attorney, a good insurance agent, a good CPA, you build a team. Yes, it may cost more money, but you don't have to do everything yourself, and you increase the chances.
Yeah.
That you make better decisions, avoid pitfalls, and have sustained success. And that could allow you to focus on your work-life balance. If you're a doctor, you could focus on being a doctor and staying healthy and exercising and enjoying your family and children and have a team that helps you negotiate through this complex world we're living in.
Absolutely.
Cool. So thank you so much for taking some time. This was a long time coming. We should have done this a while ago.
Yes, we should.
But let's coordinate schedules and let's do before year end something on retirement contributions, and maybe we could even be ambitious and touch a little bit on Roth conversions, which is
absolutely
be a tough thing for a podcast, but I think we might be able to pull it off between the two of us.
I think we can do it.
Cool. I will be back with you on an upcoming episode of the Simply Financial Podcast. In the meantime, please, please go to our website. You could get more information about Buddy as well as myself and the rest of the team. The site is www.elliottwealth.com. At the website, three things. You could subscribe to this podcast. That would be wonderful. You could sign up for our mailing, a monthly mailing. That would be excellent. And most of all, if you're not a client of ours, please sign up for a complimentary consultation where we could discuss your financials, your goals, your objectives, and we could discuss with you more about our philosophies, how we could help you win with money, including how we can work with you intersecting financial planning and tax planning. So thanks again. I'll be back with you very soon.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of SagePoint Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Please note, the information being provided is strictly as a courtesy. When you link to any of the websites provided here, you are leaving this website. We make no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information provided at these websites, nor is the company liable for any direct or indirect technical or system issues or any consequences arising out of your access to your use of third-party technologies, websites, information, and programs made available through this website. When you access one of these websites, you are leaving our website and assume total responsibility and risk for your use of the websites you are linking to. Securities and advisory services are offered through SagePoint Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, not affiliated with SagePoint Financial.
It was in New York, seen from a small town dream. I was flying high, I was feeling fine, I won't be putting